Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 36, and can be found on page 1524 in your red Bibles. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
So this week I was reflecting on the sermon. I was reflecting on what God was saying. I reflected on this passage a little bit, and I was taking a walk around Blackburn Lake. It's not much of a lake. it's called a sanctuary, but it's a little bit average. But you know, I was taking a walk around, and I was looking across the other side, across this brown mass, and the thought came to me: if Jesus said to me, if he was out there, would I walk on water to him? Would you walk on water to him? Do we have the faith that he will give us the authority over the water, that we would step on it and not into it? Do we believe that it would be not us walking on water instead of splashing into it? Do I doubt him and his ability? Or at some level, do I doubt me and my ability? Would I be fearful of the circumstances, the lake? It's pretty brown. Like, I wonder if there's something diseased in there, and that if I drank any of it, that would be a really bad thing for me. I kind of wonder what animals are in that. And so there's fears that will come up as I considered that. What about my things getting wet? I know I've got a waterproof mobile phone because Holly loves to suck on everything, but not all my stuff is waterproof. I don't think my car keys are waterproof. What if my stuff got wet? What if other people saw what I was doing? How would that affect my reputation, even if I didn't know them? So all these thoughts were coming to my mind. I know Jesus picked up Peter when his faith failed, and the Peter was picked up immediately. Would he be there for me in the same way as I faltered if I was presented with that opportunity? You know, we read the Bible and we go, "Oh, that's a great story. That's an amazing story of how God worked." But do we actually believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever? Do I believe that? I mean, the stories that have made it into the Bible, these are the stories that the disciples would have sat around the campfire, sat around having a drink, just telling these stories. They were the cream of the crop stories. Do I believe that I could be part of one of God's cream of the crop stories, which is just amazing and miraculous to tell? The aim of the Lifesavers series is for us to tell some stories about how God is at work in our world, some stories of how God is active, some stories about how God has worked in the Bible, and some stories about how we've seen God at work in our own lives. That the aim is to raise our faith collectively as we fulfill our calling as Christians. So this way, going through the series, if you have a story of how God's used you in someone else's life to along their journey of coming to faith, I'd love you to share that story with me, and either you or I may be able to share that story through the series just to encourage people about how God wants to work through us and to raise our faith collectively. You see, God wants to grow us as a church in our faith. What's Peter doing in this account of walking on water? He's growing his faith in Jesus. He says, Lord, if it is you, prove it to me by allowing me to walk on water. Peter's bold in his request to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't hold back in giving Peter this opportunity to grow in faith and to have his mind expanded as to exactly what the Lord can do. I mean, we've heard it said that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, that we can see mountains move, but do we believe it? And one of the things I think we've been burdened with is we read about how Jesus was tested in the desert. And we read about how Jesus replied to that opportunity that Satan presented him. How he said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And we assume that that means that we should never ask God for an opportunity that will expand our faith and understanding. We've taken that to mean don't ever ask anything from God that will allow you to grow in expectancy and faith. So we thought that our job is to maybe create a work, to stir something up, to find that mustard seed size bit of faith and to use it. So we bring that thing that we hold on to into healing. We bring that into when we pray for someone, to somehow foster something inside of us, having never witnessed anything outside of us. So we somehow seek to try to foster something inside, having not witnessed it outside. It's really hard to do that. It's really hard to pray for healing for someone if you've never seen someone healed. It's really hard to walk on water if you've not seen someone walk on water. It's really hard to be a Christian and do Christian things like talk about Jesus if you've never heard anyone talk about Jesus. See, as Christians, the way we work and we grow is we're faith imitators. The disciples didn't do anything that Jesus hadn't already done before them. And so we read Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we imitate others in Christ as they imitate Christ, and we imitate each other as we all step out in faith and obedience as to what God calls us to do. But somehow we kind of accept that it's like the centurion said, I believe you're a man of authority, that your word will be done, and just go and do it if it's your will. But assumption is different from faith. Us just assuming God wants to do it is different. Our earthly wishes are something different from faith. Faith is not just about being mentally strong or agreeing with truth. Faith is about our confidence in the loving will of God to impact our world in the way that He is stirring up within us. It's about our confidence in Him to bring His love into situations. And this is part truth encounter, part faith encounter, as we believe the truth that is written in here about Him, about how the disciples lived and worked, and how God demonstrated His power through him. Faith is confidence in the character of God. Faith is confidence in the love that God has for people, and that confidence that He wants to shower it, show it, demonstrate it, share His glory with the people of this world. Faith is about our partnering with God and what He is already doing, not Him partnering with us on what we want Him to do or what we're already doing. It's about us partnering with God. Do you know what? It is amazing to see someone be healed. It is amazing to see someone's life just blown away. If someone that couldn't walk can walk, someone that was blind could see. But that's faith-raising. It's mind-blowing. Someone walking in water, that is ridiculous. angels celebrate some of those things, but the things that angels celebrate the most are people coming to faith, seeing people coming to know Jesus, seeing lives transformed. The most amazing thing is seeing people return to faith. And that's the miracle that we are called to seek most, God to change the lives of people. The walking on water, that increased their faith so that they could go out and spread the good news of the kingdom further. So what gets in the way of us stepping into people's lives? I don't think it's that we don't believe that Jesus can transform lives. I think we certainly do. I think we often don't step into people's lives seeking Jesus' transformation because of fear. Do I have the skills? Can I represent God well? Can I give a good explanation of the gospel and tailor it so it fits them? What if God doesn't work through me? How's that going to affect my reputation? Is this going to affect my relationship with them? Lord, am I really the best person to be involved? You know, I believe you're powerful, but I'm not, and I feel out of my depth when it comes to being a lifesaver, rescuing with Jesus. One of the greatest strategies of the enemy is to constrain the church within the church so that our Christianity is expressed here and not out there. So what overcomes fear? The thing that overcomes fear for us is love. His love for us. His love in us and our love for him. So the question when we're confronted by fear and we don't want to do what we feel like he's obediently calling us to do is, what am I loving more than him? Where is the deficit in love in my life that needs to be filled out? Do I love the things of the world, the people, the stuff of this world more? So how does love help us to overcome fear? Imagine you were standing on this rock and on the other side was someone that you really loved, you cared for. There was no way around, but you could see across the other side that they were broken down. They were just weeping. You didn't know what was going on. It was too far to call out for them. You called out, but they weren't hearing you. You could see that they were just traumatized in pain. We'd try and go across, right? Two or three days to get around, we'd try and go across. We wouldn't wait that two or three days to get to them. We'd pull out whatever swimming skills that we had to step across that. At one level, we wouldn't care if Jesus enabled us to walk on water or not, because our goal would be to love the other person on the other side. Whether we walked in water or swam, we get there because love overcomes fear. And we go across believing that if they're someone that we love, that our love for them could make a difference by our presence being with them. And if we're confident in Jesus, we know that he is with us and that he can affect people's futures. So we wouldn't stay on the one side, would we? Now, as we think about lifesavers and rescuing with Jesus, we're looking at developing not guilt that we're not doing something, but a heart of love for people that don't know Jesus. A heart of love that just consumes us so much that whatever gets in the way, whatever fear there is that stops us from being representing Jesus well, is smashed by the love or overcome by the love that we have for the other people around in this world. Like I talked about last week, if we struggle in living an obedient and holy life set apart for Jesus, we don't have an obedience problem. We have a love deficit that needs to be filled up. Because when we truly love God, we want to serve him with our lives. In the same way, if we struggle to partner with Jesus in being agents of hope in people's lives, we have a love deficit that needs to be filled up. Because when you know love, you know that you have something to bring. When you love the way God loves, you want to be involved and share that love. I step out frequently to pray for people when they identify problems to me, whether they're emotional problems, life situations, whether they need healing. I don't see everyone healed, and as I was thinking about it, I looked back at my ratio and it's probably maybe 2 in 10 people experience physical healing. Most people experience at some level emotional healing. But I step out full of faith, confident that God in some way wants to bring his love through my extension of it. He wants to bring his kingdom into people's lives. Yesterday I prayed for maybe 3 people, didn't see any significant healing. Does that stop me? No, because I know that God's love is compelling, that his love is a love that needs to be shared. And so I step out time and time again, and I talk to Jesus about it and go, well, Lord, what went wrong there? Why wasn't the person healed? And we have a conversation about that, and my aim is to be a better partner with Jesus in his mission of bringing his kingdom of love to this world. Here's a thought that I used to have that you may have had before. Jesus is gone, the disciples is gone, have gone, and now it's our job, that the baton's been passed. Jesus is gone, it's our job. But actually, no, Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen, and he says at the end of the Great Commission, go into all the world and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've taught you, and I am with you always and to the end of the age. He is with us always on the water. He was with Peter. He helped him immediately. He is with us always wherever we are as we seek to serve him in love. Let me share with you a video about Bet. Bet was 70 when she went to jail.
God always does something new and unexpected that we can't even dream or think about hardly. My story begins back in the year of 1995 here in Quincy, Illinois. I had been down to the Salvation Army, and after I left there, right across the street is our Adams County Jail. And as I was driving by, I looked up at the screens and the bars on the windows and thought, there are women in those jails right now. And somehow my heart was sort of softened and sad by the thought of the women up there. And all at once, it was like the Lord spoke very clearly to me in my heart and said, you've never been to the jail. And I said, no, Lord, I haven't. And then I began to try to justify myself, and I thought, well, Lord, I've helped those who were hungry. I've taken a bowl of soup to the neighbor. And when someone was thirsty, when the garbage man came by in the summertime, we often offered them a drink of cool water. And when somebody was sick, I helped take care of my grandmother during my high school days. And I guess I sort of thought I justified myself before God. And then, just as clearly, the same voice spoke to my heart and said, you have never been to the jail. And I slouched down my seat a little and responded more seriously this time, no, Lord, I haven't. And then I remembered in our trunk, my husband and I had some Bibles that we were using to give to people. And so I went out and got the Bibles and brought them in and left and went on my way home. And I thought, I'd done my little thing. I'd been to the jail. But the Lord wouldn't let me go. And this kept coming to my mind again and again, that I needed to go in the jail to the women. And then I even began arguing with the Lord, which isn't too smart a thing to do. And I said, Lord, you know I'm getting older, as though he didn't know that. And then almost immediately, this message came to my heart as well. I just want you to start this work. I will give you plenty of women and people to help you. Before long, we had a team of 12 women ready to go to the jail, and two of us went every Saturday. We sat out in a walkway in front of the cells on milk cartons turned upside down and began to minister to the women. And I think there were two things that we didn't expect, at least that I didn't. I didn't know I could look into a woman's eyes that I had never seen and find out that I loved her. And it wasn't my love, it was Jesus' love flowing through us. And then the second thing that shouldn't have surprised me was that because we were in the jails, we weren't the first ones to visit there. God was already there, waiting for us to come and bring his message of grace and mercy and love to those women. The big thing that we found that they were dealing with was that they were no good. Some of them grew up in bad homes, some of them grew up in good homes, but they did not know Jesus. Some of them didn't know even how to turn to him. But through God's word and his Holy Spirit, we've seen lives changed, and we know that that's what can happen for any woman or any man in any circumstance. As time went by, though, we knew that there were women hurting and that they couldn't make it when they got out. And, you know, all of us want a place to lay our heads at night and a place to call home and a place where we can feel safe and secure. And so we began to pray about a house. And so after many years of searching, God in his miraculous way, sent us funds that we were able to purchase a house. And we actually found a house just right down the street, not very far from the jail, just a few blocks away. And we just are thankful that we have a home that we call the Well House. And it goes with the story in John chapter 4 of where Jesus met the woman at the well. And she came there for water, and Jesus said to her, "I will give you the living water." And this changed that woman's life. And she said, as she left there to go out into her community, "Come, come and see a man. And he told me everything he knew about me. Come and see, is he not the Christ?" And that's what we're saying with our home, with the women that are there. Come and see, is this not the Christ?
At our church, one of the things that we continue to do is ask Jesus, what are you up to, Lord? How can I get involved? What are you doing? How can I be part of that? As you think about it, Jesus is already on mission. And I love that line that she shared, that he'd already gone before them. When Peter walks on the lake, where's Jesus? He's already on the water. And so this morning, let me release the pressure from you. This morning, I want you to reframe the way you think about mission. Jesus is already on mission. The Holy Spirit is already up to something. We get to be involved in what Jesus is already doing. So what are you up to, Lord? How can I get involved? Jesus doesn't call us to do what he's not already involved in. He doesn't call us to work something else up ourselves, an evangelistic moment of hype. He invites us into a situation that he's prepared so that we may be his person to those people. We do work towards moments. We do pray for moments. We do invite Jesus to create moments. And then we step into them, confident in the Jesus who we worship, that he wants to impact people's lives with love. So our challenge, and let me invite the band to come up, and could someone come up? Adrian, can you hand some of these around? So our challenge this morning as a church is to consider is, where is Jesus presenting us with moments to partner with him? Opportunities for us to lift him up and see a broken world drawn into his love. We share this mission, we share this journey, we share a role of encouraging each other. The disciples went out two by two. We should too. We should encourage and build up each other, share testimonies of faith as to how Jesus is at work. So these cards, honours, I want you to spend the next week praying not just for a person, but I want you to pray for a group of people. It might be a person that God lays on your heart, but a group of people that God might be leading your heart to pray for. And there's three things on that card to pray for. Father, help me to love them and see them like you do. Holy Spirit, please draw these people to the Father. And Jesus, show me where I can join in your work. The band is going to play through Oceans, and let me invite you to join in as you like. But also in this, there'll be some pens and pencils coming around to take the time to seek the Lord on where he's calling you. You personally, he may be giving you a heart to lead others into it. Where's he calling you? What's he calling you to pray for? And so, Lord, we invite you to speak to us, to lead us. Lord, we know that you are active. We know that you're at work. We know that you would love us to join in, with you, to partner with you. It's our delight to be brothers and sisters, one family in Christ, that get to be part of your family business, and that is bringing more people into the family. So Jesus, stir our hearts, stir our minds, give us clarity on our call.